Okay, last week we were discussing the famous Gemara in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where Reish Lakish said that Edom signed on the Shtar are viewed as if their testimony had been investigated in Beis Din and cleared in Beis Din. And for that reason, the Gemara says that the truth is, when a shtar appears in Beis Din with Edom signed on it, there really should be no need to verify the signatures of the Edom. You have a shtar with Edom, we take it that for granted that that shtar is valid. It's only midrashanan that we require in general that Edom on a shtar should be verified. And here, because of the concerns for Aguna, we rely upon the shliach alone to say, I saw the get written, I saw the get signed, it's not a problem. So that's the Gemara's explanation as to why, according to Rava, we rely on the shliach as an individual to verify and authenticate the signatures on the get, because technically midraraisa you never need kiyum hachasimos, only midrabanan you do. So here, for aguna purposes, we are lenient that we allow just the shliach to suffice. So we mentioned last week, we discussed the Chiddush of Reb Chaim in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Eidus, Perek Gimel Halacha Daled, that min haTorah you don't accept written Eidus, because the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph tells us that mipihem velo miksav yadan. You can only accept Eidus that's given verbally, not Eidus that's given in written form. And the Rambam says the reason why we accept with regard to monetary law, documents as valid edus, that, says the Rambam, is only midrabanan. We accept edus, bishtar, by dinim amanus, only midrabanan. So the Ramban had asked, what do you mean that shtaros are only valid midrabanan? How could that be? When it comes to gittin v'kedushin, you can divorce a woman by giving her a shtar, you can prove that she's divorced by having her produce her shtar. That can't be just midrabanan. Midrashis of the marriage is either null or it's valid, one or the other. It can't just be midrabanan. So, B'chaim, we explained last week, distinguished according to the Rambam as follows. The Rambam says that the Gemara in Gittin, which says mipihem velo mipiksavam, that you can only accept edus verbally, that Gemara is telling us that edus biksav is not acceptable. Edus in writing is not acceptable. But, says Reb Chaim, the Rambam says there's a distinction between edus biksav, which is not acceptable, and edus bishtar, which is acceptable. Edus biksav is no good, mipihem, velo mipiksavam. Only verbal edus is good, not edus in writing. But there is a separate category in halacha, which is that of edus bishtar, and that, of course, is valid form of edus. And so Reb Chaim said that according to the Rambam, when the Rambam says that shtaros in dinei mamonos only work midrabanan, not midoraisa, Reb Chaim explained that according to the Rambam, there is the following distinction. There are two types of shtaros. There is a shtar, which is a shtar kinyan, a shtar that causes a transaction to occur, such as a shtar which, when transferred, will cause a transfer of ownership on something through a sale or through a gift, or a shtar which, when transferred, will cause a get to go into effect or cause a kedushin to go into effect. Those are shtari kinyan. Those are, what was the word we used? What was the legal term for that? Shtari kinyan? Someone gave a term last week. Shtari kinyan, that the instrument itself is what causes the transfer in ownership, causes the acquisition of
who's a lawyer?
Acquiring instrument. What's the
acquiring instrument? Okay, I thought that's when I gave me a term last week.
We had a better term last week?
Yeah. Right, I remember there was a better term. Okay, so shtarkinyan is when the document itself is what causes the transaction to take effect. That's shtarkinyan. So with regard to shtarkinyan, there, the Rambam, of course, accepts the notion that min haTorah this works. How else could it get be valid by merely giving a woman a document? How else can someone marry someone bishtar by giving her shtar kedushin? Of course, when it comes to shtar kinyan, that works min haTorah. That's edus bishtar. That's valid. When do we disqualify Eidos in writing min HaTorah, that Reb Chaim says, according to the Rambam, is only with regard to Shtar Raya. Shtar Raya is when the document serves not to cause the transaction to take effect, but Shtar Raya is when the document serves merely to serve as proof that a transaction already has taken effect. So Shtar Raya, the Rambam says, min HaTorah is not valid, because if you want to prove something happened, min HaTorah, you have to have verbal Eidos. Only midrash that we rely on shtar raya to prove that something happened. So when someone produces a document in Beis Din saying I lent him money and he owes me money, that's a shtar raya. That only works midrash rabbanan according to the Rambam, because midrash raisa, that's a problem of mipihem below mipiksavim. Midrash raisa doesn't work as valid eidos because it's in writing. Only midrash rabbanan we accept that as a valid form of eidos. Okay, that was last week's chiddush of Reb Chaim. The distinction, according to the Rambam, between Eidos B'Shtar, which is kosher, which is limited to Shtar Kenyan, and Eidos B'Ksav, which is Pasul Min HaTorah, which refers to Shtar Raya, but Midrabanan, that's acceptable. Okay? Yeah, any thoughts on that? Okay. So Reb Chaim then quotes our Gemara. He says, what is the Chiddush of our Gemara? And our Gemara says that Eidim HaChasumim al Ashtar Nasa Kamosha Nechkara Eidusim Bebeis Din. Eidim signed on Ashtar, it's as if their Eidus has already been investigated in Beis Din, and therefore you don't need Kiyim Shtar Midaraisa. Right? You have a get with signatures on it, Midaraisa it's kosher, there's no need for Kiyim HaChasimos. No need to verify the signatures. So what, in essence, is our Gemara saying? So Chaim makes the following observations. He says, we find that there are certain dinim that normally apply to the giving of testimony in court that don't apply to shtar. So for example, normally when you want to present edus, you want to present testimony, it has to be done where? In front of Beis Din. You have to have three judges, witness, and hear the testimony. When you have a Eidos B'Shtar, when you have Eidos on a get, for example, there's no need to do it in Beis Din. Just have your Eidim sign the get, and it's kosher. Right? Correct? And as normally when I present Eidos. Normally when I present Eidos. So the Eidim has to present the Eidos where? In court. In front of three judges. And yet when Eidim sign a shtar, a get, there's no need to do that in front of Beis Din. A get is valid with the Eidim signed on it, min HaTorah, even if there is no Beis Din there. Right? We said as long as there's Eidim there, sign on the shtar. That's all you need for a get to be valid. So already, says Reb Chaim, see there's a basic distinction between the Eidus of a get, which we said min HaTorah is kosher, even though there's no Beis Din there to witness the signing. Rambam says that if you have a guy gives a wife a get with Eidim signed on it, that's good. Where's the Beis Din? No Beis Din. Eidim signed on the get is good enough. And yet, if in a regular case of presenting testimony in Beis Din, right, anytime there's Kabbalah's Eidus, there's Haggadah's Eidus, you know, those two guys walk in and say, Reuven murdered Shimon, that is only valid if they say it in front of Beis Din. They can't just say it to one person. Furthermore, Reb Chaim says, we find another distinction with regard to get. The Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin, he says, tells us. The Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin tells us. The Mishnah there. The Mishnah in Daf Yud Zayin. Like the first wide line on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah there says, Nichtav b'yom, v'nechtam b'yom, if a get is written during the day and signed during the day. Or, b'layla v'nechtam b'layla, if it's written during the night and it's signed at night. In both those cases, the Mishnah says it's kosher. I can have a get written and signed at night, no problem. Okay, that's the Gemara. That's the Mishnah. Straightforward, right? You can write a get and have it signed that same night. The fact that it was written and signed at night is not a problem. So Chaim says, one second. There's a basic din when it comes to presenting Eidus testimony, that not only does it have to be done in Beis Din, but Eidus can only be done during the day, B'yom. So what's going on here? Eidus in general has to be presented in Beis Din. Eidus in general can only be presented during the day. And yet by a get, not only do we allow two Eidim to sign a get, which then serves as valid Eidus, even if there is no Beis Din to witness the signing, we also say in the Mishnah that the get can be signed at night. So what's going on? If signing the get is the Eidus of the Gerushin, why doesn't it require Beis Din? Why can it be done at night? Why is it so unlike any other form of Haggadah's Eidus? That's where Reb Chaim's observation is.
So
what does that prove? Those are his observations. That shows that the fact that Eidus Bishtar, Shtar Kinyan, is kosher, right. What that means is not just that the Eidus is valid in writing, but it means that it doesn't even require a Beis Din to witness the signing. It can be signed at night. It means he's extending this Chiddush. The Chiddush you just said that Shtar Kinyan, such as Get, is kosher min haTorah even in writing. He's now showing that there's a much broader leniency applied to the Eidus of Get. Not only is it Eidus Bishtar that's acceptable in writing, but it's even Eidus that can be signed at night. It's even Eidus that can be done not in front of a Beis Din. So you have all these dinim that don't apply to Haggadah's Eidus in general.
Because it's his own construct.
Right. I mean, he's broadening that new construct that we had been discussing. Until now, he's been pointing out
Eidus, otherwise it wouldn't be able to be at night, right?
So he's saying, as we said before, that the unique status of a get and of the witness signatures in the get is that in general, testimony has to be verbally presented. And when it comes to get, or shtar kinyan, like get, you can have Eidus in writing, and that's also kosher. Right? So that's number one new construct. Now he's just broadening the applications of that new construct by saying, not only is the Eidus in the get acceptable in writing, unlike every other Eidus, but it doesn't have to be done from the Beis Din, it can be done even at night. So what he's trying to build up here is to show that there are various different halachos of testimony that just don't apply to get or to shtar kinyan in general, right? It's acceptable in writing, it can be signed at night, doesn't need a Beis Din, all these unique leniencies that don't apply to Eidus in general, that apply to shtar kinyan, that apply to get. So as now that he's built up the applications of this new construct of this leniency, he says that must be what our Gemara is trying to teach us. Now, in broader terms, what is our Gemara basically saying? Eidim achasumim al ashtar nasa k'mishen nechkara edusim be-Beis Din. Eidim signed on ashtar, it's like they were already investigated in Beis Din. What does that mean? What he writes is, he says, it must mean that when it comes to shtaros, which, again, according to his understanding of the Rambam, means only shtar kinyan, when it comes to shtar kinyan, you don't need all of the regular laws of Haggadah's Eidus and Kabbalah's Eidus. As he's saying that our Gemara is basically a very broad, new, lenient category in halacha of shtaros, of Eidus. That whereas with regard to Eidus in general, it's got to be done in Beis Din, it's got to be done during the day, it's got to be done verbally.
Where do we learn this, that it has to be done during the day and that it has to be...
That's a din from Sanhedrin, not an Armasachta. What's it based on? I don't recall offhand, but it's a basic halacha that Eidus is only Haggadah's Eidus is only kosher.
Kabbalah's Eidus has to be done.
No, the Gemara says that din, that Beis Din, din has to be done by Yom.
Kishlevanim, by
Ro'u Beis Din. Okay, that the din has to be done by Yom. Kabbalah's Eidus, part of din, can only be done by Yom. I don't know the exact makar for it offhand. I don't know. Double check. But what he's pointing out is that when our Gemara says that Edom achasum al ashtar, Edom signed on a shtar, which he understands to mean, according to the Rambam, shtar kinyan, what that means is that you don't need many of the regular requirements of Kabbalah's Edos and Haggadah's Edos. And that's why it can be signed at night, that's why it can be signed even without a Beis Din, that's why it can be presented as Edos in writing, Edos b'shtar, not necessarily verbal Edos presentation.
Yeah. So it's saying in case of being getting divorced, that's the only way of getting divorced. There's no other way. You can only go through the shtar.
Right, you have to get divorced by giving a shtar to your wife. Now, when you give the shtar to your wife, it can be done in front of Edom who witnessed the giving of the shtar, or it can be done according to some Rishonim and some Tanoim by just simply giving a get privately that has two Edom signed on it. There's two ways, theoretically, that a get can be given. Either it's given husband to wife with two Edom watching the transfer.
So there's an or still needs the signatures.
No, meaning there's Machlokas, Rebbe Elazar, and Rebbe Meir. What's critical when it comes to get? According to Rebbe Meir, a get must have Edom signed on it. And if you have Edom signed on it, then according to some Rishonim's understanding of Rebbe Meir, it can be given privately, husband to wife. And that's it. According to Rebbe Elazar, we'll see, a get must be given husband to wife with Edom watching the transfer, and does not need Edom signed on it.
So that one would be required to be in Beis Din if you want to prove it's valid.
Would it require to be done in Beis Din?
Because it's not signed.
It's an interesting question. Saying according to Rebbe Elazar, requires Edom Asira. I don't think it has to be done in Beis Din. The Edom. The Edom who then comes to say we saw the get given would have to say that in Beis Din. That's true. But at the time that it's given, it wouldn't have to be given in Beis Din. But the Edom would later report that yes, we saw the get given would have to report it in Beis Din. It's only when the Edom are signed on the get itself that then we say there was no Beis Din here to witness the signing of these Edom. There's no Beis Din to watch this Haggadah's Edos, so to speak. Okay? So that's how he understands the Chiddush of our Gemara, that Edom Achasum al Ashtar, Nasik Mishnech Kerdus and Beis Din, means that you don't need by Shtar Kinyan the regular dinim of Kabbalah's Edos and the regular dinim of Haggadah's Edos. Okay? Any questions on that? Aris? Okay. It's just to point out, Imre Moshe, which is a Talmud of Reb Chaim, he's a Sheshiva in Brisk, Moshe Sokolovsky. So in his Sefer Simen Tes Zayin Sif Katan Ches, Simen Tes Zayin Sif Katan Ches, he writes, he quotes this Chiddush from Reb Chaim that he heard from him before it was printed, that according to the Rambam, only Shtar Kenyan is Kashim in HaTorah, not Shtar Raya. And then he writes, just adds one interesting point. He says, we've been saying, according to Reb Chaim, that a get is valid min HaTorah. Why? Well, according to Rambam, why is the get valid min HaTorah?
It's not Edus, something that happened. It's Edus.
Right, because it's not a shtar raya that something happened. It's a shtar kenyan. It's a shtar that causes the get to take effect. So the Moshe just speaks out the following ha'ara. He says, okay, so granted, the Rambam, as Reb Chaim explains, accepts Edus b'shtar when that shtar is a shtar kinyan. But when does the get serve the role of shtar kinyan? When does it serve as shtar kinyan? When does it cause the divorce to take effect?
Once it's given.
As it's given from husband to wife. Right? But how else does the get used in Beis Din?
To prove that it was given.
To prove that it was given, right? 5 years down the road, someone claims she was never divorced, and she pulls out her get and says, no, based, look, I'm divorced. So what's the get? Right, exactly. The get has a dual purpose, essentially. The get is initially created to serve as a shtar kinyan, but once that gerushin happens, from that point on, now it's kept to serve, potentially, only as a shtar raya.
Isn't that was every shtar kinyan?
Yeah, correct. Okay. True, but what he's pointing out is the following. If according to Chaim's understanding of the Rambam, min HaTorah, a get is valid as written testimony because it's a shtar kinyan, right? But we still assume that a year later, if she pulls out her get to prove she's divorced, that she's still divorced, right? We still allow it to function on a d'oraisa level as a shtar raya after it's already been used as a shtar kinyan.
Minotaur is a piggyback, perhaps?
So he says that once the signing of the get is recognized min ha-Torah, and min ha-Torah, when it serves as a shtar kinyan, it's viewed as a valid form of Haggadah Eidos. We don't require Haggadah Eidos verbally. We allow it to serve as Haggadah Eidos even in writing. So he says, therefore, subsequently, it still serves even as a raya, and it's not considered no written Eidos, no good. It still serves as a raya even min ha-Torah. So he just spells out that the Chaim has to make that extension. Once min ha-Torah, you recognize the Haggadah Eidos of the Edom who signed the get because it's serving as a shtar raya. So now you're going to accept them in ha-Torah even in the role of a shtar kinyan, of a shtar raya.
What about Rav Elazar, who holds Edom and Sira Kartin, and you don't need the Edei?
Right, so Chaim was saying his din according to Meir. And according to Meir, who says only all you need to buy Mr. Seget is Edei Hasima. So they have to say that the Rambam recognizes Eidei Chasima again because it's a shtar kinyan, and thereafter he recognizes it even in the role of a raya.
But Reb Chaim's understanding in the Rambam will hold true in other cases of shtar. For example, a shtar, the concept's still there even in let's say shtar mechira or ksuva or something like that. That there is a concept of the Eidos causing an edus that's a raya for something to happen.
Right, that's true. Right, but Chaim made the distinction according to the Rambam that edus which is only serving as raya is not recognized min ha-Torah according to the Rambam. Edus which serves as shtar kinyan is recognized min ha-Torah according to the Rambam. So all the Moshe is pointing out is that according to the Rambam, you still have to recognize a shtar kinyan after it's been given in the role of shtar raya. That's all he's pointing out.
Isn't that consistent with the Salman who goes to Beis Din and he's proven innocent in Beis Din? You're not going to retry him exactly the same way. This is kind of the same. It's like you've proven you're divorced.
Right.
So you don't have to reprove it. You have, what I mean? If someone goes to Beis Din, and he is proven to be innocent.
But who says she proved the divorce the first time?
Because we said recently
that it's written. I mean, the first time the get might have been given privately from him to her.
That's a shtar kinyan, so we say that.
But Beis Din never, authorized it, so to speak. Still kosher.
I'm just saying that it overrides.
It's still viewed halachically as Haggadah Eidos at that moment. That's true. It's viewed as Haggadah Eidos at that moment. And now, a year later, Beis Din is now looking for another. I guess Haggadah Eidos, so to speak, to prove that it actually happened. I'm not sure if it's based on the fact that once you've been exonerated. I think it might be just.
I think it's based on the fact that it was created as a Eidos as a shtar kinyan. So even though nonetheless later on it's been used as a shtar raya,
right.
The Eidos was created in the Torah's like.
That's
kinyan.
True.
So
that's
now
true.
It's the power of the shtar kinyan which is effectively allowing you.
Right.
To
even though, but the problem is that right now, when we have to prove her divorce happened, so isn't there another Haggadah Eidos in Beis Din now when you pull the shtar? That's what we're asking.
It's only valid because that Eidos was given.
Right. That's true.
Within the context
of
the shtar kinyan.
Right. That's true.
It's still
that's
the
true.
Shtar kinyan that's really allowed.
So maybe what Alex is saying is that once we approve of this form of Haggadah Eidos the first time around. Is that what you're saying?
Like in the
Beis Din. I mean, it wasn't necessarily in the Beis Din, but you're saying Halacha approved of the form of Haggadah Eidos that was in writing the first time around because it was in the form of a shtar kinyan, like you were saying. So once that's viewed as Haggadah Eidos, which is acceptable in HaTorah, that same form of Haggadah Eidos is now acceptable even later on, even though now it's only being brought as a raya. Not exactly. Okay.
I just have a totally strange question.
Yeah.
Does Reb Chaim in his actual words say the word shtar kinyan?
Yes. He says.
Okay.
He says that according to the Rambam, that which is kosher as a shtar minat Torah is masha na'aseh l'kinyan. Like get, kedushin, shichur ever, kinyonim. That is what has a din shtar minat Torah, he writes. Aval masha na'aseh rak l'raya, something made just for a raya, that according to the Rambam, he says, is lo mikri shtar. It's not called a shtar. Okay. All right, so that's the Chiddush of Reb Chaim, just the added image of the Imre Moshe. And there's one other famous shita that's quoted in the Mordechai and Kedushin. It's a bit of a confusing case that he talks about here. So we'll just try to hone in on that which is relevant to our Gemara. If you look at the first arrow, Tuf Kuf Samach Tes. That's a bit of a convoluted case. He says, "Ma'isa haya b'shnei b'nei Adam." There were two people, shahayu sonim zeh lazeh, who hated one another. V'halach ha'echad, and one of them went. V'hishchid artilo'i echad, and he bribed one, a criminal, shiyotzi la'az albito shel chavero, to falsely spread a rumor about the daughter of the guy he hated. Shekidsha, that he had married her. So, pretty sick case. He's trying to get back at his public enemy number one by bribing some guy off the street to claim that he was mekadosh this girl. This reminds me of the Kedusha Ketana scandal a few years back when some unscrupulous fathers were.
Montreal.
Yes, is that where it started? Were using the claim that they did or they might marry off their under bas mitzvah daughters, which according to Torah law they have the ability to do, to an unknown, unnamed individual. They used that as leverage, I guess, against their wives. It's pretty horrendous, using their little daughter as a pawn in their... That's the problem. that the husband was claiming he would marry off his daughter to somebody without, and he wouldn't tell anybody who it was unless whatever happened. Okay, that's a separate discussion. But I guess this reminded me of that. So this fellow hires somebody to falsely claim that he married this other guy's daughter. V'hiskir Edim, he hires Edim. Sheheidu Shekidsho. Who also testified that there was a kedushin, because v'shtar b'foneinu, and they wrote a shtar, which says b'foneinu chasume mata, in front of us, signed below, kidesh ploni es bas ploni, so and so married the daughter of so and so, v'haya osu shtar, and this shtar that they falsely wrote up was mekuyim behenpik gimel dayanim, was authorized, it was authenticated by three dayanim. Shahayim Eden al Chasima Sa'edim, who claimed who testified they recognized the signatures of the Edim on this forged star. To make matters more confusing, the Echad Min HaDayanim, and one of the three Dayanim who authenticated the signatures of the Edim on this false star, Haya Karav LaNa'ara, was a relative of the girl in question. And then Uboha Karav Echad Min HaChasum al Henpik, and then the judge who was related to this girl, and one of the other two people who signed on this authentication of the shtar came. Ve'he'idu b'fnei beistin, they testified in beistin. Sheha'edim b'shtar ha'kedushin, he'idu al-ksav yadim, that the edim who signed the shtar kedushin authenticated their signatures. Ve'gimel lo bala beistin, but the third person who was the third member of the beistin that authenticated the signatures did not come to beistin to testify on this in this regard. And the edim who signed the shtar kedushin are now contradicting the story and are saying, no, we never signed. And the Baal HaShtar, which means the guy who was bribed to say he married her, is now also conceding that the Shtar Kedushin was forged. Okay, so the whole convoluted case of somebody who hired somebody else to claim he married someone else's daughter, and they had a forged Shtar stating that the marriage took place, and the Shtar was supposedly authenticated, the signatures were authenticated by three Dayanim, only two of whom now come to Basin to say that we authenticated the Shtar. And one of those two is a carve to the girl in question. And now the guy who was bribed to say he married the girl is retracting and saying, no, I didn't marry her. Okay, so the mess here is this girl married or she not married? Can she just get married to anybody else that she wants to now, or does she have to get a get first? What's the din? Okay, so Ben Avigdor, the Mordechai quotes, this is the Mordechai in Kedushin. Ben Avigdor says that this girl is allowed to remarry, it's not a problem. Allowed to remarry, it's not a problem. Okay? And then skipping a bunch of lines. He then asks, and he discusses the fact that the authenticity of the signatures in the shtar is in doubt because only two of the three people who authenticated it came to Beis Din. One of them is a relative. So he casts aspersions on the authenticity of that initial shtar kedushin. And then he says, but what do you mean? Our Gemara says that Adam signed on a shtar. It's like the Adus is already authenticated and it's a valid shtar. So here you have this so-called shtar kedushin that claims that she was been married to this guy. Why don't you accept that at face value? Min HaTorah anyways. So he says, let's find the exact line here. By the third, those three arrows at the bottom on the right side, mm-hmm. Top arrow there, says the Od Nira, the Lo Isa de Resh Lakish, that this din of Resh Lakish, that Adam signed on a document as if they are already been cleared and based in, only applies Ela Bim Makom. She'ein makhishan. Only applies in a case where the Baal Hashtar is not contradicting the Shtar. But in my case, he says, where the so-called husband is saying, no, it was all a lie, you don't then apply Reish Lakish's din that the Shtar is Kashim HaTorah. So this is a big chiddush of Ben Avigdor, that he's limiting the application of Argamar's din. Argamar said that Min HaTorah, a shtar that has Adam signed on it, is valid. There's no need for Kiyum HaChasimos, right? So Ben Avigdor says that's only true if nobody is contradicting what the shtar stands for. He says in our Gemara in Gittin, which says that really you shouldn't need a Kiyum Shtaris at all, that's only speaking about a case where no one is contradicting the validity of the get. Then you don't need kiyum min haTorah, and that's when we rely on the shliach to say b'fana nechtav and b'fana nechta.
So can be challenged.
Right. So the question is. He's basically saying that when our Gemara allows us to rely on one shliach's testimony, the get was signed and written in front of him, and that authenticates the get, he's basically saying that this is only in a case where no one's contesting the get, right? Because he says that when somebody contests the get, then even in a Torah, you need Kiyum Shtaros. He says the only time the Gemara says you don't need Kiyum Shtaros is when there's no one contesting the get. Now that it's a big chiddush, because that means that he's only saying that in our Gemara, we're accepting the shliach's testimony only so long as the Baal doesn't show up and claim the get's puzzle. But if the Baal would show up and say the get's puzzle, the implication would be that the get's puzzle. That's a big chiddush.
I think we might have discussed this before, but how long does the Baal have?
I don't know if there's a time limit. I'm not sure there's a time limit.
If a woman remarries.
Right. So I still don't know there's a time limit. And according to Ben Avigdor, it's a big problem. Meaning, until now, we've always assumed that Min HaTorah, the get does not require Kim HaChasimos. So, therefore, we believe the shliach to testify and say that the get's valid. And if the husband shows up, too late. But he seems to be implying that no, the husband shows up, it's a problem. He writes 2, 4, 5 lines on the bottom page, on the right hand side. He says, "V'hacha mishum iguna sagi v'chad." Here, because of iguna, we allow one person to testify. If nobody contests it. But after the kim I get the hand of a nechtam. Eino ela mishum chash dehakchasha. Even though the whole purpose of saying b'fana niftav is because we're worried about the baal showing up. Dim yava baal v'ya'arer. Hashtamia lo asi v'leka hakchasha l'kaman. As long as it didn't come, you can still accept the b'fana niftav and b'fana niftav. Aval hecha de'ika hakchasha kaman. Afilim de'araisa. Bo'u kiyum gomor. V'lo mekayim echasva baal mahu. But if there's hakchash in front of us, if there's someone's contesting in front of us, even midaraisa, you need full-fledged kiyum hashtar, and if not, the get is worthless.
That's if there's one aid.
So, yeah.
One shalich, but if there are two shlichim, to testify, he wouldn't argue with that.
Right. Two aid, that's different, right. But he's basically saying that if there's only one shliach, sim fan neftav, that would not withstand a contested claim by the husband sometime down the road, which is a big chiddush.
This wouldn't fit for honestly according to Rav Chaim, because this never would apply because this is Eidus Mishtar. So the whole principle of Kedushin Achra based on shouldn't apply here. And it doesn't matter that someone's coming to testify against it, even if no one was.
So you're saying what? That according to Rav Chaim.
According to Rav Chaim, even if no one was contesting it, this is just mere Eidus Mishtar. So the whole principle of Kedushin Achra, Eidus Mishtar based on wouldn't apply.
And you would. It's saying, according to Chaim, since it's a Shtar Kenyan, you wouldn't need Eidus, you wouldn't need Kiyam in a Torah.
Since it's Eidus
B'Shtar,
it's not a Shtar Kenyan.
Well, Chaim says that Eidus B'Shtar is a Shtar Kenyan, which is Kosher in a Torah.
Sorry, right.
Eidus B'Shtar is not Eidus B'Ksav. Eidus B'Shtar is Shtar Kenyan, it's Kosher in a Torah.
Right, but these Eidim were just coming to say that something happened. The Shtar itself had no legal effect.
The Eidim, which Eidim are you referring to?
The ones that came to that they validated the star.
In his case.
He said he Mekayesh used to carry the Isha with the Tabas, and the Edom signed the. Right. He saw him do this, so that star has no legal effect. There's no halachic impact. So you shouldn't require.
What?
Kanisha Nachra, Edus and Mason wouldn't apply regardless of whether or not.
Are you saying when a Vigdar is applying Kanisha Nachra, Edus and Mason to this case where the star is not a star Kenyan, you're suggesting? Right, okay, that's true. But then again, meaning it could be Ben Avigdor does not distinguish between Shtar Kenyan and Shtar Raya. Chaim was saying that according to Rambam. Chaim was saying in Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that Ben Avigdor agrees to Rambam then. I mean, the Ramban disagrees, so it could be that others do as well. Okay, so this sheet of Ben Avigdor is quoted in the Shach as a Chiddush that when the Baal is Ma'arer, then you require Kiyam Midza'araisa. Okay, that is a big Chiddush in our Gemara, because the Pashas in our Gemara is that once the Shliach is made, then the Baal can no longer be Ma'arer against that. Okay. Yeah, the Shach asks, he says, he doesn't understand. He says, is the Shach on Simen Mem Vav and Choshe Mishpat? Simen Mem Vav and Choshe Mishpat Sif Katan Tes. Shach says, he doesn't understand. He says, the Gemara later on says very explicitly, he says, that if the husband comes later and claims to get his forage, we ignore him. So, he says very clearly, it seems that even when there is Hakchasha, contested claim against the get, you still do not require to aid him if the Shliach himself already verified and authenticated to get. Okay, so let's just point that out. Let's see some of the Gemara, and then next week we'll pick up with Sugya on Gimel and Beis. Let's just read a few lines of Gemara here on Beis Gimel and Aleph. We left off by Virava, smack in the middle of the page almost. Virava. I think, yeah, Virava my time, the first word on the line, Virava. About in the middle of the page or so, a little below the middle of the page. First word on the line, Virava. Virava my time, lo amar karava. Why did Rava not explain, like Rava, that the reason for the Shliach saying b'fana nechtav is to ensure the get was written and signed l'shma? So amar l'cha, Rava answers, mik sani b'fana nechtav l'shma, b'fana nechtam l'shma. The Mishnah doesn't say that the Shliach has to say, I saw it written l'shma. I saw it signed, l'shma. The Mishnah says the Shliach has to say, I saw it written, I saw it signed. clearly the concern was not one of Lashma, the concern was one of whether the get was forged or not. So that's why Rava does not like Rabba's pshat. The Rabba bedinhu de lisni hachi. Rava says the truth is you're right. We should have required the shliach to say, I saw it written Lishma, I saw it signed Lishma. Ela de imafshes le dibura, if you give him too long of a formula to recite, asit mimikazya, he might come to leave out a critical word. And if he leaves out a critical word, his statement is not going to be kosher. The Gemara asks, hashtanami asit mimikazya, so why is leaving out the word Lishma going to make it any easier for him to remember? So the Gemara answers, chara mitzlas ga'iz. One out of three words, he might cut off one. Chara mitarti lo ga'iz. One out of two words, he's not going to forget and cut one out. So if we require him to say, b'fana nechtav lishma, three word formulas, he might leave one word out, and then he adds to the proper formula, his edus isn't good. But make him say only two words, b'fana nechtav, b'fana nechtam, then we're not concerned he's going to forget the critical word, and there's no possibility of passing the get as a result. Okay, that's Rabba's response to Rava. The Rabba, my time lo amar karava. Why didn't Rabba like Rava's pshat that the purpose of the shliach's statement is to ensure the get is authentic and not forged? Amar lacha, so Rabba explains, im kein nisni b'fanai nechtam v'sulo. Because if the concern is whether the get is forged or not, then all you have to testify about is the get was signed in front of me. Why would the shliach have to say the get was written in front of him? As long as he's two Adam signed, that's all you got to care about. The reason why he says b'fana nichtav, it must be we're concerned about the get being written lishma. The rabbi b'dzinhu de lisni hachi. Rabbi says, you're right. Strictly speaking, if I'm concerned only about forged signatures, I would only ask the shliach to say, b'fanai nechtam, I saw it signed. Why don't I limit myself to that formula? Ella, but, the imkain, if that's all he has to say, asi le'echlufe b'kiyim shtaris da'alma be'ed echad. People might confuse this din with kiyim shtaris in general being done with an eid echad. Meaning, Rava says, if all we require the shliach to say is, I saw the get signed, and Beis says, great, the get is kosher, some guy standing in Basin, you know, first year law school intern, you know, is watching his first case in Basin, and he sees, oh wow, b'fanai nechtam, all you need is one guy to say that the shtar is valid and great. And then he goes into, you know, back home and tells everyone, guess what, I learned this year in the summer, kiyum shtar, 1-8 is all you need. He's not going to realize there's a distinction between shtar and get. So for that reason, Rava says, you require the guy to say b'fanai nechtam also. Because that makes it very different from any other form of kiyum shtaris. If somebody sees one eid saying, I saw it written and I saw it signed, he's going to realize this is not ordinary kiyum shtaris. Because why is he saying I saw it written? So the whole purpose of the b'fanai nechtav, according to Rava, is just to inject a very clear difference between get and other shtaris, that everyone should realize this is a special din limited to kiyum get, not applicable to other kiyum shtaris. The Rava says, no, that can't be why you have b'fanai nechtav. That's not a valid concern, that people might confuse kiyum get with kiyum shtaris. Mi dami, is get similar to shtar at all? Hasam yodinan. Hacha b'fanai. By kiyum shtaris in general, all you got to say is, we recognize the signatures. And that's all you got to do. That's all you got to say. Here, the shlich is saying, I saw it signed. Hasam isha l'mehemna, hacha isha mehemna. By kiyum shtaris, you don't accept a woman to testify that the get is authentic, that the shtar is signed by someone authentic. Here by get, if a woman brings a get as a shliach, she is believed to say b'fana nechta. And hasam bal davar lo mehemen. And by other shtaris, you know, the guy who owns the shtar can't come and say, yes, he owes me $1,000, here's my shtar, and yes, oh, by the way, these signatures are kosher. A bal davar is not believed to verify the signatures on his own shtar. Hacha bal davar mehemen. But here, the person who, you know, is bringing the get, even if it's for herself, she's believed to say, I saw the get signed. So Rava says there are plenty of distinctions between kiyum get and kiyum shtaris that you wouldn't worry about confusing get with shtar, and therefore there wouldn't be a need to say b'fanai nechtav just to avoid that confusion, Rava says. Rava says there are enough built-in differences between the way a get is mekuyam in Beis Din and the way other shtaris are verified in Beis Din that I wouldn't have to worry about people confusing get with shtar. So why then do I have to say b'fanei nechtav, says Rabba? It must be because I got to say that it was written lishma. And v'rava amlecha, Rava says, no, one still might confuse get and other shtaros. Atu hacha ki amri yadinan milo mehemni. But I get also, if the shliach would say, I know that this is a kosher signature. Not that I saw it, but I know that this is a kosher signature. Wouldn't that be good enough? It would be. The kevan de ki amri yadinan mehemni. And since by get also, a shliach can say, I know that this is a kosher signature, and that's good enough. Asi lechluf became shtaros da amma be'ed echad. That would also lead one, therefore, to confuse the process of kiyum get with kiyum shtar, and that's why Rava says we have to inject b'fanei nechtav into the formula. So just to sum up very briefly, Rava says the fact that we require the shliach to say b'fanei nechtav and not just b'fanei nechtam indicates we're worried about lishma. Why else would he have to say anything about having seen the get being written? Rava says no. The reason why he has to say b'fanei nechtav is because if all he says is b'fanei nechtam, people might think, oh, you can be mekayim a get with one aid, you can be mekayim a shtar with one aid. So therefore, Rava says, we have to insert b'fanei nechtav also to make sure that there's a clear difference between kiyum get and kiyum shtars. And Rava says no. Rava says there are enough differences already in the manner of kiyum get that I wouldn't be confused and mistakenly assume that you can be mekayim a regular shtar with one aid also. And therefore, says Rabbah, the only reason why we insert b'fanei nechtav is to ensure that it's going to be written lishma. So this is the machlokas Rabbah and Rava as to why a shliach must say b'fanei nechtav. Is it to ensure the get was written lishma? Is it to ensure that the get was signed by real people and not a forgery? And next week, we'll go on to the Gemara of Gimel Mevez, which touches upon the machlokas Reb Elazar and Reb Meir, famous machlokas, Edi Mesir Karsi, Edi Chasim Karsi. Okay, so next week we'll do the Gemara for the bottom line of Gimel Amud Aleph, and we'll go at least through Gimel Amud Beis. I'll try. And the Gemara really ends at least this section on Dalet Amud Aleph about a quarter of the way down. Let's see how far we get. Okay.